Well, today, we're once again, right? Sounds like a broken record, continuing our series through the Bible, titled The Bible, A True Story. A journey that started several years ago, right? Back in Genesis, and it took us all the way through the Old Testament and then into the New Testament. And we found ourselves over the last several weeks in a little holding pattern in the book of Hebrews. And we've been holding there in Hebrews because I felt like God was leading us to do this series within a series that centers around Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter that is referred to by many as the Hall of Faith, where the author of Hebrews takes some time to highlight the faith of many of these men and women of faith throughout the Old Testament. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Hebrews chapter 11, as we're going to continue in our little series within a series titled Faith Is dot dot dot, right? And each week I've shared that the dot 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 is important because we've been looking at different aspects of faith. These aspects of faith that we can learn about from these amazing men and women of God. And so if you've been with us so far, we learned from Abel, we've learned from Enoch, from Noah, from Sarah, from Abraham, from Moses, and then last week we looked at Rahab. And now today, we're going to continue to dive into some more aspects of faith as we look at a man named Joshua. Now, we actually talked about Joshua last week in our message when we looked at the life of Rahab, because it was Joshua who actually sent the spies to Rahab, right? To Jericho, who hung out in Rahab's house and were hidden by Rahab. And so we talked about him last week, and you may remember that Joshua is the one that followed in the footsteps of Moses. After Moses passed away, God put Joshua in charge of the Israelites. And after 40 years of wandering in the desert, right, because of their failure to take the land that God had told them to take, Joshua has now been anointed to rise up and to lead them into the promised land. But as I mentioned last week, there was a tiny little problem when it came to taking the promised land, and that is the fact that there were people who possessed this promised land that God had for them. And so it meant that they would have to go and fight for this land that God was giving them. And we have to understand they didn't have horses or chariots, right? They had very few weapons. It made it difficult, right, to go to war without those things. And one of the first tests they had would be a place called Jericho. And the problem with Jericho was the fact that it had walls all around it, right? This massive wall to keep people out. And they didn't have any tools to get in or through these walls. And so this is why Joshua had actually sent spies out to spy out the land of Jericho, the men that Rahab took in and cared for. And I want to share a little side note that really has nothing to do with the message and where I'm going this morning. And I'm realizing that I'm going to kind of tell you the end of the story before we get to it. But in a minute or two, we're going to read that the people of Israel didn't really have to do anything to defeat Jericho, right? God did it all for them. And as I was processing and getting ready and thinking about Joshua and this message, it posed this little question to me. And the side note that I really want to bring up here this morning. Why did God have Joshua send spies in to Jericho? I mean, God knew everything he needed to know about Jericho, right? And the information that the spies gathered played absolutely no part in the victory over Jericho. And so why did God have them go do this secret spy mission? I believe it was for one reason, right? And I think most of us know it. It was to save Rahab and her family. God knew that she was a God-fearing woman. And so he planned this whole thing because of his love for her. Remember, Her family was the only family that survived. God did this whole thing because of His love for her. And I believe God does the same thing for us at times. We just don't always realize it, right? I know for a fact He has done this in my life. I mean, why was a youth leader jogging at midnight in the frigid Oregon air in January of 1993? Who would do that, right? Who would be out jogging at that time? I believe He was out jogging because I needed Him to be, right? I needed Him to see me come out of a place that I shouldn't have been. Some of you have heard this story before, right? I was in a place I shouldn't have been. I come out, this jogger comes by. It's this youth pastor that I happen to know, right? I needed Him to come out and see me in a place that I shouldn't have been. Why? So that He could call me and meet with me and completely help me turn my life back around. God loves me that much. He loves all of us that much. He loves us enough to put people in places that they really don't need to be, right? Why? So that they can encounter us and our lives can be changed because of it. The story of Rahab is a story of hope for all of us. It's a reminder that God will do whatever it takes to save His people. Amen? All right, there's my little side note. Last week was Rahab. If you missed that message, I would encourage you to go to listen to it. Today we're going to turn our attention to Joshua, but I really believe that that side note was for someone here. God wanted to speak that to you this morning, so I felt like I was supposed to share that. But our main message this morning is Joshua. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as we're going to read what the author of Hebrews 11 has to tell us about Joshua. Hebrews 11:30, one verse, says this: "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days." There's our scripture this morning. Now, this verse doesn't reference actually the name of Joshua. But if you know the story of Jericho, you know that Joshua was the leader that helped them to victory, right? That helped lead them to victory as he put his faith and trust in the Lord. And I think for us to really understand what we can learn about faith from Joshua this morning, we need to jump back to the book of Joshua and read about the walls of Jericho that came tumbling to the ground. You can flip there if you want to Joshua 6, but I am going to put these scriptures up on the screen this morning because we're going to jump around a little bit. And so we're going to start there in Joshua 6 to begin with verses 1 through 5. This is what it says. "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in.'" And now I want to jump there from verse 5 to verse 15 and 16. This is what it says, Joshua 6, 15 and 16. "On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. Except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" And then I want to skip to verse 20 and wrap things up this morning. It says, "When the trumpets sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in. And they took the city." And we're going to stop there. Now, As I mentioned earlier, the battle of Jericho ends in victory. And it was the Lord who brought them this victory. But in this story, I think there are some things that we can learn about faith from Joshua and the people of Israel. And there are two things that I want to highlight this morning in regards to faith. The first one is this. Number one, faith is trusting that God's ways are right. And maybe even that God's ways are always right, right? Now, here's the thing. They may not always make sense to us, and they might even seem a little crazy at times, right? I think it's pretty safe to say that this strategy of marching around a city for several days and then shouting and blowing your trumpets and making a lot of noise sounds a little crazy, that like that is how you're going to win this victory, right? I sometimes wonder what Joshua was thinking when God told him this plan. Because in case you didn't know or maybe forgot, Joshua was a warrior. He was a warrior for Moses. He helped lead Israel into battle when he was under the leadership of Moses. And when it comes to military strategy, I was a Marine, for those of you that don't know. I can tell you for a fact that this plan for taking Jericho was not on the top 10 military strategies for taking a walled city, right? Matter of fact, I don't even think you would find it in the strategy books anywhere. But here's the thing, this wasn't a strategy of men. This was a God strategy. That this strategy was to prove to the Israelites that this was God's battle, not theirs. That God is the one that would bring the victory, right? We don't bring the victory. God brings the victory. The reality is the Israelites did nothing to contribute to this victory. God was the one that brought the walls of Jericho down and led them into their hands, right? And I often wonder what the people of Israel were thinking as they marched around this city, right? As they were marching around this city, what was going through their head? And here's what I think. I'm guessing that they were becoming more and more aware that they could not conquer Jericho without the help of the Lord, right? As they marched around this city, they would have seen how massive these walls were. They would have seen how high these walls were and how secure this fortified city actually was. And you got to remember, they didn't have battering rams or equipment for this kind of job, for the job at hand. And so each time they circled this city, it must have become more and more evident to them that without divine intervention, there was no way they were getting in the walls of Jericho. There was no way that they were going to achieve victory. There's an old song I remember singing back in kindergarten about this Bible story. Some of you may remember it when you were little. I was in kindergarten, and it goes something like this. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, 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 right? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. And I remember in kindergarten, man, our teacher, I had a male kindergarten teacher, and he was so funky. And the walls came tumbling, and we would all just like crash to the ground. And you know, when you're in kindergarten, you're rolling around and being all crazy. And this is one of our favorite songs to do in kindergarten. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. But if you think about it, that song is all wrong, right? Because it wasn't Joshua who fought the battle of Jericho. God fought the battle of Jericho. All Joshua and the Israelites did was march around the city and shout praises to the Lord. God was the one that caused the walls to come tumbling down. You see, God's ways may not always be the most conventional ways. God's ways might not always be how the world does things or even how we do things ourselves at times. But God's ways are right. Why? Because God's ways will lead to victory in one way or another. And so the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is this. Do we trust that that God's ways are right. Which then leads to a second question. Are we doing things God's way? Or are we doing things our way or the world's way? A way different from God. The truth is, and I know I'm talking about you, not me, we can be stubborn at times, right? No, I'm kidding. I am talking about myself. We can be stubborn at times in our sinful nature, right? Just ask the previous generation of Israelites, right? The generation of Israelites before this generation, they did their things their way. And instead of experiencing victory, instead of experiencing the promised land, what did they experience? They experienced 40 years of wandering in the desert. And guess what? They ended up dying there, right? Never to experience all that God had for them here on this earth. Why? Because they were afraid to do it God's way. They were afraid to trust in God's way. They didn't want to do what God was telling them to do. Do we trust that God's ways are right? Even when His ways don't line up with our ways or our political agenda or what the world tells us to do? Do we trust that His ways are right when His ways challenge us to do things that might make us a little uncomfortable? That might ask us to step out of our comfort zone. The reality is, if we take time to read through God's Word, we're going to realize that He calls us to live life differently. And the truth is, I think many of us don't want to live the way He's calling us to live. Or we want to pick and choose which of the things in the Scriptures we want to actually do, how we want to live, right? People get mad at me sometimes about the things I preach. And I know I am not perfect, right? I know that my theology may be right here, may be wrong there, because as I said, none of us have perfect theology, right? All of us are wrong in some way or another. There's no one person out there that got it all right, right? The problem is we just don't know where we're right or wrong. And so I know I'm not perfect. I know my theology may be right here, wrong here, right there. But I do know this. I do my best each week to decrease so that God might increase. I do my best to share what I believe that God is wanting me to share to Dallas Four Square Church. Because you are my church, right? And so I'm doing my best to share what I feel God is wanting to be shared with us here at Dallas Four Square Church. It's not what I want to share, right? Do you think I like talking about humility, right? We talked about that last week and in my weekly devotion. You know, do you think I want to be challenged to step out of my comfort zone? No. If I'm being honest, if people knew me, I mean, people think I'm an extrovert, but I am not. If I'm being honest, I would love to go and live out in the country and just hang out with my family and close friends and not have to worry about others, right? Welcome to pastoring, Darren, right? Sounds pretty selfish though, right? But that's our human nature, and I have to fight real hard to go against what I want. Because it's not about what I want, it's about what God wants. And so I have to fight against those things, because that isn't what God has called me to do, right? And that's not what God has called any of us to do. His ways can be scary at times, and they will challenge us to do things that make us uncomfortable or that don't even make sense. But faith is trusting that God's ways are always right. Joshua and this new generation of Israelites did things God's way, and because of that, they experienced victory. And because of that, they ultimately experienced the promised land that God had for them. And if we want to experience that promised land instead of wandering in the desert, because as a pastor, sometimes I talk to people and they share these things and I'm like, sounds like maybe you're wandering in the desert. What was the last thing God told you to do? Maybe you need to do it. And that might change the circumstances around you, right? If we want to experience the promised land instead of wandering in the desert, we need to be people that trust that God's ways are right. And then we need to walk in those ways, right? Because it's one thing to know, oh yeah, this is right. I trust in you, God. But I'm not going to do it. Right? We have to trust that His way is right. And then we need to walk in those ways. Amen? And I know that's a tough amen, right? That's a tough amen. Some of you want to go, no, I don't know if I want to say amen to that. But faith is trusting that God's ways are always right. And we learn that here, I think, from Joshua and the Israelites. And then the second thing that I think we can learn about faith from Joshua here in these verses is this. Number two, faith is thanking God before we receive the victory. In verse 20, it says, when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And then it says, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. Right? So they shouted praises and thanksgiving to the Lord like they were instructed to. Even though it sounded weird, even though it sounded crazy, they did what they were instructed to. And after doing so, the walls came tumbling down. Now, I may be a little biased, but I believe that God has blessed me with some of the most amazing kids in the world. Ever since they first started talking, Stacy and I taught them to say please and thank you. And when they were really young, they would say thank you to Stacy and I constantly, right? All the time. Thank you, Daddy, for my toys. You know, thank you, Daddy, for our doggy. You know, thank you for ice cream, Daddy. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And I got to tell you, man, with those cute little voices, I mean, it just would melt your heart, right, to hear your kids just say, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Daddy. It's this wonderful thing as a parent, right? But here's the thing. This kind of thanking is what is referred to as gratitude, right? It's letting others know that we're grateful. It's thanking someone after receiving something, right? They were thanking because they got ice cream. They were thanking because of the dog that they received. They were thanking because of this and that. And so it's thanking after receiving something. And the truth is we should always be grateful to God for the things He's given us and grateful to others when they bless us or do things for us. But the faith that we see from Joshua and the Israelites here is talking about thanking God before we receive His blessing. Before we see the victories, before He gives these things to us, right? When I pray for our church, because I pray for our church regularly, I thank God for the people that are here, the people that He's bringing, the amazing people that make up our church. But I also pray and I thank God for the people that He's going to bring. The people that will someday walk through those doors. When I pray for the names on that back banner back there that we have been writing on for years, I thank the Lord for those that have come to know Jesus, that we know on that back banner that have come to know Jesus. But I also thank the Lord for those that are going to come to know Jesus, because I believe, as I've been praying for every name on that back banner, that every single one of those names are going to come to know Jesus in His timing and in His way. I have faith in that, which is why I thank God in advance for what I know He's going to do, even though it hasn't happened yet, right? That's what we're talking about here. Let me share a little illustration with you. There was a pastor who was known for his uplifting prayers each week. He always found something for which he could thank the Lord for. One Sunday morning, the weather was so gloomy that one church member thought to himself, Certainly the pastor won't think of anything to thank the Lord for on a wretched day like this. You can tell this person was thankful, right? Much to his surprise, however, the pastor began by praying, "Lord, we thank you for the sunny days ahead." I believe God wants us to be optimistic believers, right? People of faith, right? People who hope and believe that God is at work, that he is doing something and is going to do something. People who have the kind of faith to say, it may be a rainy day today, but there are going to be sunny days in the future. In these scriptures, we read from Joshua here that there was a big, giant wall between the Israelites and victory. A wall that seemed impossible to knock down, to penetrate. But in faith, they shouted and praised the Lord, giving thanks to God before it ever happened. And then the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Sorry. I'm getting excited. My throat's getting dry. Let me wrap things up by asking just a few final questions this morning. What are the walls in your life? What are the victories that you are desiring to see? What are the things that seem impossible or discouraging? Whatever they are, I challenge you to begin thanking the Lord for those victories right now. Thanking God for what he's going to do before it even happens. And let me just say this, okay? This is not prosperity preaching, all right? It's not a name it and claim it theology. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for that $1 million you're going to put in my bank sometime in this next year. That's not what I'm talking about here. It's not a name it and claim it theology that I'm sharing with you this morning. It's about faith. It's about realizing the promises of God, right? He wants to bring victories to our life. He wants to bless us. It's thanking him for the victories that he wants to accomplish in and through our lives. And it's trusting in how he's going to do it, right? Because it may not always look the way that we think it's going to look. But he wants to bring the victories if we trust in him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your hand upon our lives. We thank you that we can trust in you, Lord. And Lord, I know it's hard at times because your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. And sometimes your ways seem crazy. They seem out there. Sometimes your ways challenge us to do things that maybe we don't even really want to do, Lord. But I know that oftentimes you call us to something above and beyond ourselves. Because you want to show us that you're the one that brings the victory. It's not us, Lord. If we think we're going to bring victory in our life, then we've already lost. You are the one that brings victory. And so, Lord, may we be people who learn to trust in you. To trust that your ways are right, Lord Jesus. And to begin to thank you in advance for what you're doing. How you're moving. The miracles that you are wanting to accomplish, Lord. We want to give them to you. And so, Lord, we thank you for Joshua and the Israelites and what we can learn from them in the battle of Jericho. Lord, those walls were huge. There was a giant before them that they could not have defeated on their own. And so, Lord, whatever those giants, those things that seem too big in our lives that I can't do that. There's no way. And it's true. We can't. But through you, we can do all things because you are the one that brings the victory, Lord. And so may we be people that put our trust in you. May we be people that lean on you in these times, that trust in your ways, Lord. The things that you're speaking to us, pulling us outside of our comfort zone, challenging us to be things that we are not in and of ourselves. It's how you are going to see your kingdom extended through our lives, Lord, when we put our faith and trust in you. And so, Lord, we pray that you help us to be people of faith. That, Lord, in the future, when people look back, just like in Hebrews 11, when we see the names of these people there, that, Lord, our names would be names known as men and women of faith who simply put their trust in you, who had a faith that continued to walk out the life that you have for us, Lord. Because that's simply all that you call us to do. That we do what you've called us to do and allow you to bring the victories. Allow you to come around us and be our strength and our grace and our mercy in the midst of it, Lord. We thank you for these things. Again, we just pray you allow these words to speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. That you allow these words to just encourage us, to challenge us, Lord, but that we would take that challenge to be who you've called us to be, to make the difference that you've called us to make. Lord, we don't want to be like the early generation of the Israelites that wander around and never experience the promised land that you have for us on this earth. We want to experience the promised land that you have for us on this earth and that you have for us in eternity. And so may we seek you with all that we are. We give you these things. Allow them to speak to us right where we're at today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.